Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius of Kent State University, and this week on Counselor Audio Source, Dr. Adina Renfro-Michelle, contributing editor, speaks with Dr. Tracy E. Robert about spirituality in counseling and how counselors can incorporate this using the spirituality competencies.
Welcome, Dr. Robert, to CounselorAudioSource.net.
Thank you.
We're here to talk a bit about spirituality in counseling and how counselors in training can increase their knowledge of using spirituality and religion in their counseling practice.
Yes, that's a real interest of mine, having been past president of a CERVIC, where we looked at how to help counselors learn about integrating spirituality and religion into counseling. And it's been an emphasis of my work for the last 3 years. And my students in the program where I am a professor had a very strong interest in this. And actually, in response to their interest, we created a course, Spirituality and Counseling. And over the last 3 years, have been evaluating how to increase the information that they need and adjust it to the needs of the students. So it's a very growing area of interest for our students. And they just want more and more courses in this area, and they want more of it integrated into the training. In the counselor education department at Fairfield University, we do infuse spirituality into a lot of our core courses, as well as having a specific course dedicated to it.
So what information have the students specifically requested?
Well, the one area, there's several connected, but one area that comes up all the time is they don't understand how to integrate and work with spirituality and/or religion in the counseling process. That stems from one, either they're uncomfortable and concerned about ethical issues relating to that, or they're concerned about imposing their personal belief systems on clients, and two, they're also unsure of the multiple and diverse belief systems that may walk in the room, and they're not sure how to acknowledge those belief systems and work with those belief systems in the counseling process.
How do you teach those concepts and help them reduce their fears when using spirituality with clients?
Well, one of the things that helped me and guided me in my work and creating the course and even adjusting and adapting the course every year has been to look at the competencies that were created by a CERVIC. There are 9 competencies that came out of the Summit on Spirituality, which was held in 1996. That was the first summit where people came together, people who had been doing research in spirituality and counseling, and started to talk about this from the perspective of training and how can we help people who are already in practice, who are trying to deal with this issue, since it comes in the door with the client, we really need to be able to be comfortable with it. So out of the summit in 96, and after several roundtables that were held at ACA conferences, 9 competencies were established to help their guidelines for integrating spirituality into counseling. And so I used those 9 to help guide the goals and objectives for the class, and also help the class assess where they are as far as this topic and their own personal development as a counselor or therapist, because I also taught the class to marriage and family therapists. So the first one was, the first competency deals with how to understand the difference between religion and spirituality. One of the things we did and research has done is actually look at the two topics as separate but similar, and sometimes for clients they're exactly the same, but just to understand it from a cognitive perspective, we've had students look at spirituality as a separate entity from religion.
What is a basic definition of religion and a basic definition of spirituality?
the way we've defined it, or research has defined it often, is religion tends to be more of a public faith of a belief system that is attached to some type of organized or institutional practice. So the major religions of the world would fall into that category, where people would identify with a specific religion, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, that type of thing. The spiritual or spirituality definition has been the one that is used, and there's multiple definitions for spirituality, which is one of the issues around doing research on it. And one that we tend to use is it's more of the private expression of someone's belief system as to whether they believe in a higher being or transcendence, or meaning making, how they make meaning out of their lives, may be more of a spiritual practice and not always identified with any specific religion.
So someone can be religious but not spiritual, and someone can be spiritual but not religious.
Correct. And that's what we often talk about with students. In fact, when I start class, I ask them to define spirituality so that we can see the diversity even within the class. And as they look at what they've designed, actually I have them draw it versus write it, so that I tap into multiple domains when they're looking at this issue. Also, it connects to the fact that the wellness model for counseling and the foundation for the counseling profession is on wellness, and the core element for wellness is in spirit. So it's very helpful for them to even attach this to that model to understand, you know, how they're defining it. And they look at the similarities and the differences, because as I said, for some people, religion and spirituality is exactly the same. So we can't really be rigid about those definitions, which is something that they come to understand through the course. If the course is taught over a specific amount of time, I've seen a real change in understanding from the students from the first class to the last. And I also have them write that, actually. The last class, they write a one-minute definition, and we look at the difference between first class and last.
The second competency is the professional counselor can describe religious and spiritual beliefs and practices in a cultural context.
Yes, this is an area that's very interesting for a lot of our students. They really say that they don't even know what's out there. There are so many different religions. There are so many different spiritual practices. So one of the things I encourage them to do while they're in the class is to explore practices and beliefs that are different than their own belief system. And what happens is a lot of them actually realize they don't even know much about their own belief system. So they actually look more into maybe their background. Some of them have already done this in multicultural class, but then they bring it in more to different experiences. One assignment I have is that they do commit to a spiritual practice for the length of time of the class. And they can choose any type of spiritual practice, something they've never done before, and then write a reflection paper on that. And think about how they might use that as an intervention with a client if they think that might be helpful. And then I also have an assignment where I ask them to attend a belief system that, you know, something that's different than their own belief system. Like we've had people go to mosques, they've gone to Buddhist meetings if they're not of that belief system, gone to charismatic Catholic meetings, evangelical Christian meetings, the wide range. We actually are lucky in where we are that there's a really high diversity of belief systems.
So the students are able to not only understand their own religious and spiritual beliefs in their own cultural context, but also try to understand their clients.
Yes, because I have to do a spiritual genogram also as part of an assignment that goes with their spiritual autobiography. So they have an opportunity to look at their own cultural context and how it's influenced their religious and spiritual belief system, and then they can bring that to their clients. And that kind of goes with that competency three, where they engage in self-exploration. The whole course is built around self-exploration, and which is one reason I think the students absolutely love. I have students coming by who taken this now for the last 2 years. We offer it as an elective only in the summer. And they still stop by, and they're still talking about the course, and they're telling everyone else to take it in these two programs because of the opportunity it gives them to really self-explore and also help them with their clients.
Well, and this seems to be an area that has been somewhat neglected in our preparation of counselors.
Yes, and that was actually the focus for the work that Acervic has done, that their goal was to really work with counselor educators to infuse spirituality into the curriculum. They actually worked with K-Prep also to see if that could not be part of the accreditation standards, and it is included under the multicultural standards, but some of the programs have worked beyond than just having this addressed in one class. As I said, for us in counselor education at Fairfield University, we really have a focus this in a lot of our classes. Like I teach the career course, and there's a module dedicated in the career course to spirituality and religion as it affects career. We have it also professional issues. It's a separate module. In school counseling, students have looked at spirituality in schools. They also look at it in professional issues. So it runs throughout a lot of the courses, and a lot of that is due to our students coming in with that interest. And the interest seems to be driven from the fact that they, if they're out in field practice already, they've certainly seen it come into their process and their sessions. And if they're not, they've thought about it. So it's coming from also clients, which is exactly how my interest really developed, from my clients bringing it into the counseling process. And I think the fourth competency, where it has the, it talks about the professional counselor understanding their own belief system and then understanding various models of spiritual development. That's been helpful for the students to know there actually are faith development models out there. Most of them do not know this. They do know about lifespan development, but they don't always think of spiritual development as part of that. We do have that actually lifespan. We do talk about spirituality. And a lot of times in lifespan, it's not in our course in particular, but some, it's only considered as end-of-life issues, spirituality. So one of the things this course has done is students have been able to see spirituality across the lifespan, because I have speakers come in who've done research on, one of our faculty has done research on children and spirituality. So we really look at across the lifespan, children, adolescents, young adulthood, and then through middle adulthood into later life. So we try to cover the lifespan issues too.
So let's go back to three, and then we'll continue on. The professional counselor engages in self-exploration of religious and spiritual beliefs in order to increase sensitivity, understanding, and acceptance of diverse belief systems, which piggybacks on the other three that we have just spoken about.
Right. And I think the activities that I have assigned, where they're constantly looking at their own belief system as they go out and expose themselves to new activities, new practice, help them become more sensitive. It certainly has happened. I have guest speakers come in also to the class, and I had guest speakers from belief systems that might be different. I didn't even know what the belief systems were in the class. In the classes, I don't necessarily ask that question immediately, but I had contacts where I was able to bring in people from the community, not necessarily religious leaders. I brought in people who were practicing in their belief systems, who were very willing to talk about their experience, because I felt it was closer to how it would come in as with clients. It wouldn't necessarily be counseling the leaders. We had someone from the Muslim faith, someone from the Buddhist faith, one of the Jesuits came in to speak about spiritual direction versus how that differs from counseling, which is a really important piece. And one of the things that occurred, and I think this was interesting as far as understanding and being sensitive to, when the person was speaking about the Buddhist belief system, she asked people in the class, this particular class, whether anyone familiar with meditation or had done meditation, and most of the class had never done it. And she asked if they would like to. So she led a meditation. So right in the moment, they were able to experience something different than what they'd experienced before. And it was very uplifting for them. They were very comfortable. They said they started to become more comfortable with knowing someone could come in to talk to them from this belief system. I also had someone who who is Sikh come in and talk about that belief system, and they really started to see a lot of similarities and also a lot of differences among the major world religions. So they just were very grateful to be able to have that opportunity.
What's happening is that not only are students reading about this information, but they're actually being exposed to it so that it challenges some of their own belief systems.
Yes, they can be challenged in their belief systems. And what's happened is in most of the classes that I've had so far, and I haven't had a lot of them, as I said, we've only done this for 4 years. What they found is that there are similarities, and then also if there are beliefs that they really don't agree with, that it seems that they have been able to understand and accept the differences more easily. That's what they've reported in the reflection paper. In fact, every time a speaker comes in, they all say they're going to convert to that religion. They seem to be so excited because a lot of it's new. And these are people, the age span for this class goes from 20 to the 50s. And most of the people I have seen, and I've had in class, are Christian. Not all, but most are. Few are Jewish. A few might be agnostic, and very interesting because they talk about that while in their spiritual autobiography, too, and how they're constantly reflecting. There are reflection papers throughout the course, too. And one of the things that happens when you move from all that reflection is when you get to competency 5, this is when you start talking about how do you bring it into the counseling process. This course, I don't have a lot of time to work on counseling skills related to this because I'm still building the base of them learning about themselves and about what comes in with the clients. So we do talk about response. We do talk about treatment planning. We use case studies, and we look at how do you integrate into a treatment plan or into assessment this the issue of spirituality.
Dr. Robert, please give me an example of using these concepts within the construct of counseling a client.
Well, one of the things that we talk about is you just need to be open and aware of the clients and how they speak and what they're speaking about. And most of the time, the reason you would be working with the spiritual aspects might be when you find out where the client gets their strength from during times of crisis and stress. That's a question that can be asked that is non-denominational, has nothing to do with religion, and it's really, you know, strength-based counseling, but it also can give you a tap you into the spiritual domain because people may respond that they find their strength from praying to God. One of the things that I've had happen in counseling sessions is when I do ask clients, even in the intake, you know, if they're coming in because they are really dissatisfied with their work and they don't like what they're doing and they don't know what to do, I would ask them, you know, where have they turned for help in the past? And they might say, I have prayed to God to tell me what to do. So there's very specific religious orientation. So then I would ask them, can they explain a little bit more about their belief system to me? So I would understand what their belief system is. I have to be careful not to assume what I think it is. You have to mention God. I don't know who God is to them. I need to know that. I also have to know how strong of an influence that is. I mean, I've had clients say, you know, they're just going home and praying every day that they'll get the right job or that God will help them. And they're not doing anything else but praying. So we want to look at how well that's working for them. Maybe there are other things they might want to do with that. But they bring it in. It's usually that's what I'm telling clients, counselors, training. You don't have to bring it in. That's not what we're saying. It's coming in. In fact, ethically, you wouldn't want to do that. You want to hear and listen to the client. The client often will bring it in. I had a client who's really dissatisfied with where he is right now in his life. He is looking potentially to change his work, which will impact his family tremendously, might require a relocation. And I said, well, do you have an idea of where you might want to go? And he said, yes, that there's an area where we want to live, and we really get along with the people. They have the lifestyle we like. You know, we really spiritually just connect with them. And then he goes, but I'm not spiritual or any of that stuff. And so I said, oh, okay. I said, well, what do you mean by you're spiritually connected to them? What does that mean? So I was able to bring the spiritual piece into him. He brought it in, but then I was able to follow up on it and really understand what he didn't want it to be affiliated with religion or New Age things. He was like, none of that. But then what he was really talking about was the spirit, the connection, the relationship, which is sometimes the definition of spirituality, with other people who have similar beliefs, and how that community was really representative of how he wanted to raise his kids, where he wanted to live. Very, very strong statement. So that's part of how Murray's going in the counseling, trying to look at that and how to get there. And the spirituality is driving, but he's not spiritual or anything.
But his definition of spirituality was very different than what someone else might consider.
Exactly.
Our own definition.
Right, and that's why you have to listen really carefully and make sure you're not imposing your own beliefs on what they're saying. Even when someone says God, I had one of my students say they had a client come in and they were, the whole session was about, you know, I know God will tell me what to do, I know God will help me, and this person was in crisis, both from not having housing, no job, I think there was domestic violence involved. And the counselor said, I don't know what to do. I can't touch that. I can't go anywhere near God and religion in the session. She was really uncomfortable, and she didn't know what to say to the client. And this is an experienced counselor who's been out in the field for, I think, 6 years. And she said, oh, my agency wouldn't let me talk about it. And I said, did you check with anyone, your supervisor? She actually had. So I used that in class to talk about how would you address that? How would you help that person? Using their frame of reference. It's really working with the client's belief system, which is part of our ethical code.
That counselor's reluctance to discuss religion and spirituality with the client leads us into the sixth competency, which is the professional counselor can identify limits of his or her understanding of a client's religious or spiritual expression and demonstrate appropriate referral skills and generate possible referral sources.
Right. Exactly. If this counselor really felt she couldn't understand at all what this woman was talking about, then maybe she can't work with the client. Maybe it would be helpful for her to refer the client to someone else. And that's what we have to help people also know what their limits are. But I think people automatically sometimes think, they have to automatically refer to pastoral counseling, to ministers, where that may not necessarily be the case. We certainly can work together with those who are in that, in a particular faith belief system, but sometimes the clients aren't comfortable really going there. So you need to also be able to work with the client if possible, or if you're still uncomfortable, you have to pay attention. And you have to seek supervision, and then with that, you would have to see how you would refer and what resources are available to the client in the area.
Right, because counselors in small towns, there might not be someone to refer the clients to.
Correct.
So they might need to just seek supervision, even long-distance supervision, in order to be able to work with these clients to help meet that demand.
Right, because what could happen if you're in a rural setting, if someone has a belief system that they have no support system whatsoever for their belief system in the rural area, you might be able to, somehow they have a connection to whatever their belief is. You know, there's some group maybe or somebody they might connect with. Maybe not. Maybe they just are so internal that they just have their own belief system. But then, you know, maybe there would be somebody outside of the counselor where they could, where the counselor could seek resources, because there are a lot of resources out there on the internet. Whether or not they're credible, you know, that would be something that you would need to know, and which is one of the things also we talked about in how to get information and how to understand what's out there and how to screen, you know, for appropriate referral and resources.
Competency number seven is the professional counselor can assess the relevance of religious and or spiritual domains in the client's therapeutic issues.
This is the key thing about also how much focus is put on the religious spiritual domain for the client. For this person, this client who walked in and just talked about praying to God and God helping them, it's a big part of who they are. And that may be something you can use in the therapeutic process to help the client. So that would, you would want to integrate that into your treatment plan. In some cases, it might not be a focus at all, and it may not even be helpful, so that you wouldn't necessarily want to include it. And again, that would be where you wouldn't want to be imposing your beliefs. Like, you could make everybody, you know, searching for meaning into this existential quest, and which Frankl would say is true, and then make it into some spiritual issue and bring that in. But that would be sort of your, that could be your belief system, and that may be your counseling process. But you wouldn't be imposing it on the client. Like, when my client said, oh, I'm not spiritual, I realized, you know, he's not comfortable with that, and also that's not how he thinks. So I have to go back to working with his words and, you know, what his focus is. I actually even had a client who I thought might benefit from a spiritual intervention, and although it's also considered a behavioral intervention, doing a guided imagery due to anxiety and stress. And I mentioned it to them as a possibility, and they absolutely, the nonverbal was like, oh my God, what are you talking about? What are you doing all that? Yeah, you know, that's how they responded. And I thought it was very interesting because they have to be in acting, and it's used as an acting technique, which I then brought up to them. And I asked, you know, visualization.
Right.
And I asked, isn't this an acting technique? Do you do this at all? It's very interesting, the response. So there's where my thinking this might be a good intervention might not work with the client. I was only in the second session, so I wouldn't necessarily know that.
So taking the client's lead in this is very important.
Very important, as it is with actually any.
Exactly.
Right.
We've already touched on 8 a bit, but I'm going to go ahead and read it, and
sure.
We can continue. The professional counselor is sensitive to and receptive of religious and or spiritual themes in the counseling process as befits the expressed preferences of each client.
Yeah, I think that's an important piece where, like the example I gave where the counselor was uncomfortable with the amount of invoking the, God to help them, this one client, as well, they kept saying. Basically, they were giving everything up to God and sitting around waiting. And the counselor was very, very uncomfortable with that, but didn't quite know how to deal with the expressed preference of this client, which was to rely on God to make everything right. Just the fact, actually, they were able to, the counselor was able to express that uncomfortableness, gave me the opportunity to say to them, bring that into supervision. That's a perfect example of where, you know, you've hit a limit for yourself, you're paying attention to that, go talk to your supervisor, see how or what the recommendation is.
And the last competency is the professional counselor uses a client's religious and or spiritual beliefs in the pursuit of the client's therapeutic goals as befits the client's expressed preference.
Well, I think this sort of summarizes what we were talking about in a couple of the other competencies, where when someone is doing a treatment plan and you do the intake and assessment of what the needs are, if you see that the beliefs, religious and spiritual beliefs are helping, would help, and are part of what the struggle is, or that they can help with whatever the issue is in counseling, and that the client has, with their language, has brought that into the session, or into the intake session, then that would be important for you to use to look at interventions and techniques that would support that belief system, because that could be their strength and help them overcome whatever the issues are that they're going through.
So we've talked about the survey competencies for utilizing spiritual and religious beliefs in counseling, and we're here today to talk about counselor training and counselors in training. What would you suggest a counselor in training or someone who is interested in developing their knowledge around this topic do on their own to help themselves and their clients?
That's a great question, because this area is so huge, I think, as far as being able to grasp it, and it can overwhelm you with the amount of information that is available on religion, for one, and then to add in personal, private practices, which would be more in the spirituality realm, again, can be overwhelming. two books that I found helpful for the students, and they really have used them as resources. One is Marshall Wheaton Frank's Comprehensive Approach to Integrating Religion and Spirituality. So she integrates a lot of the research and that has been done, and also gives you some activities you can do, refers you to other resources. The second text, which is based on the competencies, which came out last year, expands on each one of the competencies and how someone can reflect on developing the skills that they need in spirituality and counseling, and then refers you to websites and resources for each of these areas, so that it's a great resource that way. In fact, those resources have been put up on the web, on the Acervic website also, under different categories. Like lifespan issues, there are different resources provided there. Beliefnet.com is also a resource that looks at all the world religions and major religions as well as religions that may have smaller followings, and gives some basic information. It's been given fairly decent reviews as far as the validity and reliability of the site. So it is something that I've recommended to my client. My clients is also, but mainly like counselors and entry. So those two books in particular are used, and also those resources on the internet. In addition, what I've heard from the counselors in training is once they go through this course, which is really like an intro to this whole field, they really want to move beyond into, okay, let's practice, let's work with this in clients' work. You know, how does this really, how do I feel doing this, or becoming more aware that I have the skills, now I want to practice them. I know a new book that just came out, Counseling and Spirituality, Views from the Profession, by Oliver Morgan, is new. I don't have it. I may use it for my class this summer. But basically what he did is have different professionals in our field write chapters on how they integrate spirituality into counseling. And there's some very interesting chapters. There's one on breath therapy and how that is integrated into, breath work is integrated into counseling and is considered a spiritual practice. Also, there's a chapter on counseling conservative Christian couples and how to be sensitive to that perspective from marriage and family systems approach. Also, how to incorporate spirituality into rehab counseling and coping with disability, which is a big area of the intersection of spirituality and counseling in a lot of cases. So there are actual professionals talking about how they have done it, which is where we need more information. That is what the students are looking. So any kind of videos that they can look at, there is one at the Ivy Microskill group. I think they have a video integrating spirituality and religion counseling. Craig Cashwell did that. There are also great resources in the healthcare field, because the nursing profession has done a lot of research and work in this area. Medical education is more research being done on spirituality and health. It is definitely integrated into the alternative medicine area of the National Institute for Health, where they're looking at research and health and prayer and that. So there are resources in allied professions for counselors. But the counseling profession really has done quite a bit to promote this area or to support this training area, and definitely with the competencies has been helpful. I know the social work profession and the psychology profession have looked at that, our competencies, and said they're very helpful.
Dr. Robert, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to discuss this topic with me.
You're welcome. As you can see, I'm fairly excited about it, and it's just wonderful to work in.
Thank you very much.
You're
You've just heard an interview of Tracy E. Robert of Fairfield University speaking with Dr. Adina Renfro-Michel about spirituality in counseling. Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaraudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.